So you're back now after this spring and third time now to the Annapurna South phase. So you have a huge physical challenge and probably also a huge mental challenge given the fact what happened in the spring and also what you've experienced on Annapurna. So how are you feeling?
I think for me, after what happened in spring, it was really important to come back to Nepal, just to feel what's going on here. Of course, I totally changed my mind about country, about how things working, and I think maybe it opened a little bit my eyes how the whole Nepal and everything is working out here, which is good. I sorted it out. For me, it's okay. Spring expedition is over. It's not my greatest story I ever had. It happened. It's done. We keep on moving forward. But of course, I learned a lot. And now it's Annapurna. It's an old project. I tried out it twice. But this, I think you have to accept. You know, if you really want to climb hard routes on 8,000 meter peaks, you have to invest a lot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have a lucky punch and you just do it firsthand, but normally you have to come all back again until you get the good weather and everything has to be right. Mm-hmm. And this is really rare. You just have to have the patience and come back over and over again.
So is the Annapurna South phase, is it like one of your dreams? Is it one of your, you know, you've been there twice and you had, you know, first time you could have died. Second time you had a very dramatic experience with Inyaki. So it must be a huge mental challenge for you to go back.
You know, after Inyaki, I thought, yeah, no, I just have to get off this phase and you just need some time to get over these things. I think if I would go back just the next season, I would be not prepared for it. I would be too scared. And after the years, you have other experience, you have more good experience on 8,000 meter peaks. And now I feel like, yeah, I really have to finish that project because I think the fire is back, you know. And to be honest, now I have a lot more experience than I had this time. I see it a little bit different. I have a new tactique, you know, like when I was there 2007, 2008, I was like, okay, that's the line and this we have to go. And now I changed my mind a little bit. It's like, okay, this line is great, but maybe we can climb a little bit more to the left on the pillar, which is maybe safer, we have to figure out. It's completely changed in my mind. It's just, I think because I had now the experience on this high altitude mountains and I realized how it has to work that you can be successful.
And why are you doing it now? You just said before, you know, it's just sort of having good experiences on 8,000 meter peaks and obviously you had a bad experience. And it's quite a short period of time between now and the spring on Everest. But do you think like 3 months was enough just to get over it and, you know, do this Annapurna project now? I mean, you could do it next year.
I'm totally not over the Everest story. Mm-hmm. This is something different, you know. This takes years. Mm-hmm. I will not. But, you know, life is going on and you have to move on. You cannot sit at home and just get like... And I feel that. Look, you know, I have to go back climbing and unfortunately they're... Most 8,000 meter peaks are in Nepal, so I have to come back here, and I'm kind of a little bit forced to come back to Nepal. If there would be other 8,000 meter peaks, maybe I would go somewhere else, you know. But on the other hand, it's good, you know. I have to come back. I have to be in Kathmandu. I have to talk to people, and this will build up the relationships again and help me get over this story.
And do you feel that you're under outside pressure as well to come and do like this big project and climb an 8,000 meter peak, or is it really what you want to do from your heart?
I mean, Annapurna is something I want to do from my heart, and I always did that in my life. You know, a lot of sponsored climbers, they're working different, you know. a lot of time the trips get paid by the sponsors. Mm-hmm. So the sponsor is saying, yeah, oh, we make a trip to Everest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so team members can apply or can enjoy this branded expedition. Mm-hmm. And I've never done that in my life. I would never do that. I'm just want to do my things. And if I find a sponsor to cover the cost, it's okay. If not, I pay my own. So that's completely a different way. And I always had this mm-hmm. freedom in my life. And I keep that.
But you have big sponsors, obviously. How did they react after what happened on Everest? Were they, you know, of course, I mean, I don't know whether it had dented your image or whether, you know, it was good for your image. You know, how did they react?
You know, for my image, I think it make me more human. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's reality, what happens. We had a lot of media coverage without pushing anything, mm-hmm. which is... And no, I have to say, like, everybody knows me now. Mm. This is different. But I don't like this kind of image at all. Mm. I don't want to be in the media with stories like that. But I cannot avoid that. Mm. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. For the sponsors, it's, you know, the most sponsors I've working so long term together. It's like one expedition does not make the difference. Mm. If it would happen every time like that, it might be not that good. But... It's just normal. Sometimes an expedition is successful, sometimes an expedition is not successful. Over the years, a single expedition does not count. It's like the whole relationship over years that it is important to sponsors.
And you always climb without climbing Sherpas, of course. But will there be Sherpas on your trip? Like, you know, people carrying stuff up? Will you be working with Sherpas?
And we will have one guy who's going back and forth to ABC. Just we can stay up at ABC, but you know, we carry everything like alone. And if we have somebody who helps us, there will be somebody coming up. You know, if the kitchen boy wants to make more money, he comes up.
And you have the feeling you can trust them. You don't feel now. I mean, because when you have a bad experience somewhere, you know, the next time you come, you feel a bit.
You know, like in general. I change my mind about people a lot. In general, not only in Nepalis. Mm. This story in spring, I have a hard time to trust people now. And this still stays. And I just, there is a wall now between me and other people. This is not broken yet.
And with Annapurna now, South Face, you're going to be climbing with Don Bowie from Canada. Have you climbed with him before?
Don is a really cool guy, you know. He's not a super strong climber at all, but we did 2011, we were on Shishapangma, Choyu and Everest, and we had such a good time together. And that's why we go to Annapurna again together. For me, it's very important to have somebody around me who I like. You know, I think even if it's hard climbing, I can manage that. That's no problem. But it's very important to have the personal relationship to people. We are back on this talk about trust. And, you know, if you feel you have somebody with you, you always have to, I don't know, that's not good. And with Don, I had that. We had such a good time on that expedition. I think it's going to be a good expedition.
Do you do a lot of your climbing on your own? And you just said Don is not a super strong climber. Well, you are a super strong climber. How is it going to work? You know, if let's say, you know, you guys work together, but you're stronger, will you just go or will it be a team? Or what's important to you?
I think we have to climb together because it's very technical. So we have to belay. We have to, you know, this will be maybe on the hard part. One body leads, the other guy has to follow with two bags with equipment. I mean, we have to share the whole work. Now, Stone is really, really strong. He trained a lot. He's maybe technical-wise not really strong, but like physical, he's super, super fit.
Big wall climbing is what you do, but of course it's different at high altitude. What do you think are sort of the main challenges or difficulties for you on this wall?
There's a question how much gear you bring, you know? How difficult is the climbing? if you bring a lot of equipment, you're gonna be really, really slow, which is not possible in alpine style. So you have to figure out how hard is the climbing, how much gear I bring, you know. As better a climber you are, as less gear you need. I mean, I can climb waterfall I6 without using a protection. This is no problem. So this means we don't need to bring too many ice screws. This helps us not to carry too much, so we can be very efficient. But then if we have to climb, I don't know, a hard 8 pitch, if you don't have any pitons, you're not gonna make it. You have to be really careful, and I think that's really, really important. How much food you bring, it's really hard. It's a lot of decisions you have to make, that you can travel light as possible.
And even though Annapurna is one of the lower 8,000 meter peaks, it's still one of the most dangerous ones, especially the normal routes, you know, with avalanches. You know, how are you taking the dangers? Has it changed your perception of danger because you think, well, you know, Camp Tour and Everest is dangerous?
Camp Tour and Everest is much more dangerous. Yeah. It's really hard to predict. No, I mean, Annapurna, yeah, everybody talks about the most dangerous mountain because the normal route, it just sucks, you know, going through Seracs, and so you have avalanche and stuff. We have to, but Annapurna is really, really far south, so you get all the moisture hitting that face first, and this makes a huge problem on that mountain. You have a lot of problem with avalanche because you get so much snow usually. That's the reason why we are so late. That's one of why I want to try that so late. So I hope the jet stream is going to be quite far south, but not too strong, so we still can get to summit, but pushes down the moisture from the south. So I think that makes Annapurna kind of a big challenge.
Okay, so hopefully third time lucky on Annapurna, and then that's one dream, you know, if you hopefully make it to the summit, hopefully you come back safe and sound. And then what's your next dream?
You know, I was thinking a lot this summer, and especially now, also after this Everest experience, I'm gonna stay on technical mountains, on technical faces, but on the 8,000 meter peaks. That's what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna stay on the faces, so there's nobody bother me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, thank God there are enough faces still.
Oh, there's still lots of work to do on this 8,000 meter peaks. It's not done yet. So there's a lot of space to go climbing.